What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hello there, TFC fans and those that don't like TFC but are just masochists. It is TFC 3 Questions. James Sharman here. John Molinaro. No Jimmy today, JMO, but I think the two of us can handle 20 minutes worth of TFC conversation. Done it a couple of times over the last 20 years, so I think we'll manage it. You were at training today, right? You went there. Of course, they're coming off their third straight win. Mm-hmm. Being Orlando from behind, I should add, and in the dying breaths of the match, mm-hmm. they scored 2 goals. They're taking on Dallas, who currently sit, I believe, 7th in the West, 12th overall. But things are looking up, I guess, at TFC. Do you sense that mood at training right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked to Kevin Long after practice sort of today, and he talked about it because you could just tell by the way that the team was going through their preparation on the training pitch today. And I asked him about it. What's the mood like? And just said, yeah, it's really buzzing. They're still kind of riding a high after the win against Orlando. And he said, especially because of the way that the win was secured with 2 sort of late goals and on the road, he said, you know, that's the best way to sort of like win a game like that. So yeah, I don't think there's any question that, you know, there's a lot of sort of buzz and, you know, the team is riding high at the moment. But he talked about, you know, needing to build upon that, right, with consistency and not getting ahead of themselves. So, you know, I think that was something that was really visible at training today. I think the other thing that helps is that, I don't know how much you want to get into this, but Lorenzo Insigne was involved in training today. So for the past 2 weeks, he's kind of mostly been working out on his own with like a trainer on the side away from his team. Today he was kind of, you know, training with the rest of the team. So I think that sort of bodes well. I mean, I don't suspect he's going to be ready for this Saturday. But the fact that he is kind of integrated somewhat in team training today, I think that bodes well. You know, it's sort of, you know, a sign that he's making progress. At the other end of the spectrum, Shaquille Marshall-Ruddy wasn't there today. Mm-hmm. So it looked like he kind of picked up a hamstring early in the second half.
Surprise.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. There was no sort of official update from the club. Whether he'll be able to play on Saturday remains to be seen. We'll probably get a better idea on Friday at training, but that's something to keep an eye on as well.
All things considered, though, I know he's not back just yet to a match per se, but they've actually done okay in Insigne's absence, given the recent run of games, right? I mean, listen, they miss him clearly. They're a different team with him there, but it's allowed some other players to get minutes, perhaps, and actually look okay in those minutes as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's, you know, John Herdman has talked about sort of that next man up mentality, right? Mm-hmm. About the importance of players who are kind of on the fringes of, you know, the starting 11. You don't necessarily get a lot of minutes to, you know, seize the opportunity when it sort of presents itself, especially as the team has kind of been going through a little bit of an injury crisis really since preseason. And I think you've seen players like Tyrese Spicer and Shaquille Marshall-Ruddy and others kind of step up in a big way. So, you know, we'll probably get into this later in the show, but, you know, May is going to be a grind for this team because they have 8 games across 2 competitions during you know, a 31-day period. So that's essentially a game every 3.5 days. So they're going to be tested. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, whether they can maintain this momentum going forward. And again, that was something that Kevin Long talked about today with me when I spoke to him. Someone who's kind of gone through these sort of grueling stretches during his time, you know, playing in England, because he talked about, you know, in the championship, it's not uncommon to go like, you know, Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday again. And then when you throw in FA Cup weekends, it can be really challenging for a team to play that many times in a month. So again, I'll be watching with a keen eye to see how they sort of navigate this month, because it's going to be really important.
Yeah, if they survive it physically, given all the injuries so far this year, right? That must be a concern to the staff there. I know you spoke to Jason Hernandez this week as well with the deadline pass.
Well, last week, yeah.
Last week, sorry, yeah. And he was saying how they could still move players out. It's still possible. Have you heard anything more about that? Is there some instability within the squad?
I don't know that there's instability, but I mean, look, I think that they're looking to sort of shed some underwhelming, underperforming players, right? And it's not a surprise. I mean, I could throw out a couple of names, whether it's, you know, players like Ayo Akinola or Jordan Perruzza, some guys who are just not getting minutes, right? And they're who are not getting anywhere close to regular playing time. I don't think Perruzza has even seen a single minute of action this season. So, you know, I suspect if those moves are going to come, they'll be either loan deals or, you know, the players sort of just started parting ways, not necessarily a buyout, but coming to some sort of agreement with TFC to end their sort of contract. So that could still happen, or nothing could happen. So it'll be, again, something I'll be watching with keen interest this week.
Yeah. So the three questions were, the first one we kind of answered already was three straight wins. Is there a swagger back, you know, within this club? Is it a bit of a stretch to say swagger at this point, given the way they won the games? And one was against, with all due respect, a semi-pro team in Simcoe Rovers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know that I would go as far as say there's swagger. There's a little bit of confidence. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I mean, the team, you know, we talked about it, had a really solid start to the campaign with, you know, whatever it was, four sort of clean sheets through the first 5 or 6 games. And then they hit that sort of stretch where it was 3 losses in a row. Now they've won 3 in a row. Two of those games, shutouts, you know, advanced to the quarterfinals of the Canadian Championship. So I think they have every right to kind of feel good about themselves. They've kind of gotten back to what sort of worked for them at the beginning of the season. And as I said, there is a genuine buzz within the camp right now that, you know, just following this sort of mini turnaround, because they've won 3 in a row in all competitions. I don't think they're going around puffing their chests and, you know, claiming that they're going to, you know, take the Eastern Conference title and win MLS Cup. But, you know, they did set a goal. John Herdman talked about this, of wanting to be within the touching distance of the top four in the East after the 10-game mark. They're 4th place after 10 games. So I think, you know, they are where they want to be. And that's something that's a goal that they set for themselves. I think they feel good about it, but with the understanding that, you know, they have to sort of maintain this level of consistency and progress forward.
But we shouldn't lose that, right? They are 4th in the East right now, right? Well in the playoffs. I know, listen, it's tight. Right. You know, what, to 16 points, they're a point back of New York Red Bull in 3rd on 17 points. But, you know, in 7th, there's Philly on 13 points. So it's tight. Montreal, who I mentioned this to Amy Walsh actually earlier this week, Montreal's getting a lot of positive press. Mm-hmm. You know, good start. The TFC is above them in the standings.
Right.
Right. Whereas it's a very different feeling around both teams still because of the last couple of years, right? But yeah, they're doing fine. I think that's the way to put it. Just fine. Yesterday, last year was more, I think, of an anomaly, a freakish dead last place finish. Mm. So, you know, this year perhaps it's a bit more, if not fine for the playoffs, if we forget what happened last year and all the off-field nonsense. This is a pretty decent squad that should be at least be in the conversation for a playoff spot. It's not a dead last team with this talent.
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, I mean, when we started talking, you know, before the start of the season, I think a lot of us didn't sort of see this coming, right? Because there wasn't a lot of new recruits coming into the team. You know, there was questions about the defense, because aside from Kevin Long, there wasn't sort of any sort of upgrades at the center back position. They didn't bring any sort of new attackers in. And if anything, they cut loose, you know, Adama Diamande. So the questions were about, you know, where were the goals going to come from? And there were questions surrounding the Italians as well, right? I mean, were they going to fully buy into what, you know, John Herdman wants to do. And so far, I think, you know, it's all worked out pretty positively. And so, yeah, the team is, I don't think there's any question that it's trending in the right direction. There are, you know, right now you would have to say they're a playoff contender and that they're vastly improved over last season. And that's remarkable considering, you know, again, that they didn't, it's essentially the same squad as last year, minus a couple of new additions. So, you know, I think they're sort of overachieving right now, and, you know, that's good for them.
I think the Italians are key there because many people, including myself, pretty much wrote them off after their behavior last year, which wasn't good enough. It wasn't professional. But this year, yes, they've been professional. Now, we know Insigne is out, but Bernardeschi. Okay, it's 19 games now without scoring a goal, but the assists are coming, and you can't question that work rate. He's doing a lot of things really well. That assist on the weekend was just brilliant. It's one of the highlights of the season, in fact. Right? So I think overall with Bernardeschi, I think the assists are enough. Yeah, you want some goals being potted at some point, but as long as they're winning games and he's setting up goals, I think that's enough, isn't it, to ask of him?
I would disagree. I agree with everything you said in terms of he's clearly bought in. I think he has a different mentality. The work rate has been sort of sensational, and I don't think you can question that on both sides of the ball. I mean, he is really sort of putting in a workmanlike shift and defensively. I think he's gotten smarter about the last couple of games in terms of like going forward, right? I think before he was just trying to do it all himself and really trying to make something happen by, you know, taking players on. I think we really saw it in the Orlando game where he's looking more to sort of set teammates up. And we saw that in the first sort of on both goals. And yeah, he's, you know, even throughout, even, you know, before the Orlando game, he kind of led the team in sort of chance creation, right? When you look at, you know, key passes and statistics like that. So that's all great. You know, the two assists on Saturday were his first two assists. So that's all positive. But again, James, I mean, I do think they need to get him going in terms of goal scoring production. You know, Prince Owusu, God bless him, is, you know, suddenly found form. But, you know, what happens if he goes stone cold? What happens if he goes down injured? This team doesn't have another star four that it can lean on to sort of produce goals on a steady pace. So I think at some point, if they're not already there, the team has to be, you know, a little bit concerned that, you know, the Italian hasn't scored. I think the goals will come because he's getting himself in a good position and getting good looks on goal. And, you know, you would hope from, if you're a TFC fan, that he's going to continue to create those goal scoring chances. But, you know, a designated player of his caliber, a player of his caliber, considering his history, to say nothing of the fact that he's one of the more handsomely paid players in the league, he has to start scoring goals. I don't think there's any question if he can continue to, as I said, be the playmaker that he's sort of been so far and continue to create chances. Like, they want that to continue, absolutely. But the goals have to come as well. So, again, I think that's something that, you know, the club will be looking for, and, you know, especially during this month of May when they're going to, again, have just an absolutely punishing schedule.
Is it wrong that part of me still thinks, just a small part of me still thinks that by the end of this season, we'll look back on this part of the campaign and how Bernard's playing, and we'll think, oh, yeah, he was doing that to engineer that move in the summer, and that he's no longer at TFC, and the memories of Bernardeschi will be, you know, X, wherever they are. Or is that just a dark passenger who can't accept nice things as a football fan?
You know, I get your sort of skepticism. I think a lot of sort of fans probably feel the same way, just because when you look at sort of last season and how things played out for Bernardeschi, both on and off the pitch, I don't think there's any question that he failed to produce on the pitch last season. I think we all know the stories about, you know, behind the scenes in terms of, you know, his commitment and lack of character, so to speak. I mean, during the offseason when he visited Juventus's training camp, and he was asked by a fan outside the parking lot about, you know, are you going to come back to Juventus during the transfer window? He said, yeah, I hope so. So I think everyone has sort of earned the right to be somewhat skeptical about, you know, this period of time. But again, you know, let's see how things play out. I mean, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, because again, he's shown great commitment. He's shown unbelievable work rate, again, on both sides of the ball. So, we'll see what happens.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right, third question is, as you mentioned there, JMO, the busy schedule has arrived. We're 10 games in. What have we learned about this team so far?
I think there's a resiliency there that has kind of been missing for, you know, a really long time. You look at the Orlando game, you know, 1-0 down on the road in a very difficult place to play, where they hadn't a team against a team that they hadn't beaten since 2019. If this was even last year, the game would have been over when Orlando went up 1-0, right? Because for the last several years, this is a team that quits on itself, that, at the first sign of adversity, just kind of pops or sort of folds its tents and goes home. And, you know, if the game didn't go completely the way it wanted to, then, the team just kind of curled up in the fetal position because there was no fight back. It didn't sort of handle adversity well. I think there's a sense of, you have to give John Herdman a lot of credit for this. There is a sense of self-belief that's been really refreshing to see through these first 10 games that, you know, no matter what the situation is and if they're down or if they're playing on the road or on their at home, there is a sense of belief that this team can sort of like win and kind of churn out result. It might not be pretty and might not be, the most elegant football, but they will find a way somehow to grind out result and to get points on the board. So I think for me, that's kind of like the biggest sort of learning from this team. I think the mentality has been, a 180 compared to last year. So that's been really refreshing to watch.
Sometimes I wish I had like a little John Herdman in a jar in my kitchen and I could every now and again open that jar and he'd give me some inspirational message and I believe in myself again. You know, those dark days, JMO, it's cloudy outside, you're a little bit overtired, you start questioning your life choices and the way things are going, and it's not, you can't manifest negativity too much, but we all have those days. Everyone does. Sure. I need to have John Herdman in a little jar and just unscrew that lid. And he jumps out and goes, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I say, oh, you know what? You're right. I'm great. Everything's great. I believe in myself.
Well, I mean, look, you joke about it, but there is something about John Herdman's sort of personality that, players will go through like a brick wall for him. They'll walk on fire for him. He just sort of gets the most out of his players. I think you've been around John enough to know, James, that you could certainly speak to this. The guy just sort of exudes positivity, right? I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him sort of with a scowl on his face or like negativity or like say a bad word. I mean, he is just permanently on, permanently sort of just sort of buzzing. I mean, even in training, it's a small thing.
I was going to say.
Even, it's a small thing, but when he'll walk, like when he's sort of just sort of watching like the guy's training, he'll have a ball at his feet and he'll try like do juggling or like he'll try to take like a long range shot and like he'll point to Terry Dunfield or Jason DeVos, one of his assistants, say, hey, did you see that? Did you see like how I scored? So
he loves football.
He does. I mean, there is a love affair for the game. And I think there's a love affair for sort of passing on that positivity and as a teacher, to the players. And so, God bless him because I think he's largely responsible for, the culture change that's taking place at TFC, which isn't a surprise, right? I mean, you want sort of the coach to set the tone. I mean, we saw it when Greg Vanney was here, right? When he first sort of took over the coaching reins, he was absolutely instrumental in changing sort of the culture at TFC. Now, there were others involved as well. I think you have to sort of hold up, point to people like Michael Bradley and players in the locker room. But Vanney played an absolutely pivotal role. I'm not sure he ever got the proper sort of due for that. And I think John is likewise laying a similar path in terms of, changing sort of the culture at TFC. And, the results speak for themselves so far.
It's a great point, the comparison, because Greg Vanney was always on this level, always.
Very
seemed too high or too low. Right. You wouldn't see him with a scowl very often.
No.
Right? And I don't know how you maintain that. It's a high-pressure position being a head coach. So it's a real talent, I think, a real knack to do that. I guess on the bright side, John actually would fit in a jar. So I'm not saying anyone kidnaps him, but I mean, just saying he would fit in a jar on my kitchen shelf.
I don't know that you could, I don't know that you could keep him in a jar because it's just so like kind of wired, right? Like
he's depends how thick the glasses.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe some kind of like thick hockey perspex.
Maybe
kind of jar. Maybe put some air holes in there.
Yeah, but again, I think that's kind of like the players pick up on that, right? And it's not just sort of like the first team, like this TFC 2 players as well. I mean, today, for instance, there were 10 TFC 2 players involved in full training, like with the senior side, right? With the senior side, right? That's nothing new in terms of, you know, players from the young Reds sort of training with the senior team. It's happened for the last several years. But I think the point I mean to make here is that even when like the TFC 2 players sort of see how John is, you know, how he is in terms of, you know, passing on that positivity, I think it sort of it sort of permeates into their brain as well, right? And they're going to take that, you know, when they have to play in their MLS next pro games, and they're going to remember that whenever they get opportunities to train or play with the senior team. So I think it's really been something that's been positive from TFC, you know, in terms of John Herdman's influences.
Well, you interviewed Cozy Thompson this week on tfcrepublic.ca, and you asked him about that switch to fullback. And when John asked him that question, you know, hey, I want you to play fullback. And I thought his response was great. You know, again, it shows that trust of the manager. You know, he'd never played there before.
No.
He sees himself as a midfielder, but he didn't question the ask.
No, and I think, again, because, you know, obviously there's some self-belief in Kosi because, you know, as the type of midfielder who he is, you know, a very defensive sort of two-way guy, I think that kind of lends itself to playing as a right-sided center back in a back three. But it's also, I think, just because, again, just like, you know, as you said, there's just so much trust from John Herdman that, you know, when he asked him to do it, he didn't blink. He said, yeah, I can do that for sure. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the belief in there that John has kind of instilled in his players, I think that led to a lot – that had a lot to do with Kosi's sort of response. Because, as I said, never played there before. I mean, never played there as a center back in TFC 2 or in the youth academy. So, and, you know, playing a new position like that out of your natural spot can be challenging for – especially for a young player like him. We have to remember, he's only 21. Yeah. But, you know, he didn't blink when John asked him to do that.
I've got to ask you before we leave today, the whole, I guess, race for the new Canada men's head coach job, John's old job. It's the rumors are hot and heavy right now. Mm-hmm. Is it, Jesse Marsh? I've heard Greg Vanney's really popular choice, although he's not leaving the Galaxy. Whoever it's going to be. What are your thoughts on the scuttlebutt? The AGM or the annual members meeting goes as of today, I believe, May 1st. It's May 1st today, right? It is May 1st. Yes. Wow. Yeah. So we'll find out soon enough the direction of Canada soccer moving forward. And then I'd imagine there'd be an announcement for head coach pretty soon after, unless there's a new president in place. What are you hearing? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, just that some interviews have taken place, that the process is fully down the line in terms of, you know, talking to prospective candidates, that it's going to continue on. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we heard, a decision within, you know, the next sort of week or two, because I do think they want to have everything that I'm hearing from people that I've talked about on the scenes is that they want to have this new coach in place and plenty of time for the Copa America. I think there's this whole debate about whether it should be a Canadian coach versus whether it could be, you know, a foreign coach.
You've heard that, huh? Freddie Prime been all over that recently. Jesus.
I'm fine, you know, whatever they want to do. I mean, I'm fine either way. I get both arguments. I get the sort of argument about, you know, there's a lot to be said for making it a Canadian coach because I think that person will be sort of more invested. They'll be sort of more closely tied to the Canadian soccer ecosystem, and they might have a better idea of players, you know, which players are coming up. But there's also something to be said to going for an international coach with experience both at club level and national team level, you know, someone like a Jesse Marsh who has coached, you know, in the UEFA Champions League and will probably, you know, have a greater chance of earning the respect of players the caliber of, you know, Alfonso Davies and Jonathan David than say someone like, and I mean this no disrespect to someone like Bobby Smyrniones or Tommy Wheeldon Jr., but they've spent the bulk of their coaching careers in the CPL. I can't help but think that they might have a harder time gaining the respect of, you know, players like sort of Jonathan David and whatnot. So again, I think for me, whoever they deem as the best qualified candidate, regardless of nationality, that's who you go with. And there are other sort of factors to consider here too, is that, you know, budget, right? I mean, Canada Soccer doesn't have a great deal of money to spend here. If reports and everything that I'm hearing is that, you know, this is a cash strapped organization. So it might be just in terms of who can be, you know, the best economic and budgetary fit for, you know, the coaching position.
I haven't got the answer yet. I will get it with pay equity. Does the men's coach need to make the same as the women's coach? Does Bev Priestman need to make the same amount as whoever the men's coach is? Now, she's got a deal in place. Mm-hmm. Is that torn up? If, say, Jesse Marsh arrives for, I don't know, $650 or whatever it's going to be? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Good question.
Yeah, good question. I mean, yeah, I can't answer that. I don't really know, but that's a valid question to ask.
You know, the more I think about it, listen, I really like Bobby Simonyatos as an option. But the more I think about Jesse Marsh, I would have no problems with that whatsoever. I don't care where they're from either. Honestly, yeah, ideally you have a Canadian. Of course you do. But there aren't many Canadians currently qualified for that position. And we can discuss why that is. It's unfair, the landscape. We don't help and back our own. We discuss it a lot on Footy Prime. I get all that. But right now, all that aside, not many Canadians are qualified for the position. I think Bobby is. I think Tommy Wilden Jr. would be. We know Frank Yallop certainly is. He's done it before. Mm-hmm. But there aren't that many. Jesse Marsh, like you mentioned, they're Champions League football. Mm-hmm. He speaks so well, and there's more to it than just that, I understand. But a good tactician. I like the way his teams play football as well. Mm-hmm. They're attacking teams, and this team's strength is where? In attack. Yep. A dynamic, pacey side. So there's a lot I like about that. So what's what happens? You know, South Korea are talking to him. Is that just a smokescreen? I don't know. Like I said, maybe by the time we talk next week, James, I will know who the men's coach is. We can get into this in more detail. But until then, what can we expect from tfcrepublic.ca?
So I'll have should have a story on a more feature-ish kind of story on Kevin Long, either tomorrow or Friday. And then, of course, TFC is going to play FC Dallas on Saturday. So we'll have like a full sort of in-depth preview of material on that. And then for next week, I should be talking to Andre Dumitru, who's a 17-year-old prospect for the Youth Academy who plays for TFC too. People might remember he made his senior team debut against Simcoe Rovers. So I'll be speaking to him on Thursday, should be, just about him, you know, making the jump, brief as it was, for the senior team and what people should know about him. So that'll be for next week.
Now, I know you mentioned on social occasionally at TFC Republic, you have free weekly previews. Occasionally you slide them in there. When's the next one? Can you tell us?
I don't know. I've got to think about it.
Not that you cheap bastards out there. Not that you shouldn't be paying for this anyway. It's well worth it. There's so much content. If you're a TFC fan or a fan of Canadian football, subscribe. You know, do what's right. Let's build this country into a soccer nation by helping out JMO. Number one. All right, JMO. Thanks, pal. This is always fun. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, buddy.
That's John Molinaro. This has been TFC 3 Questions. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Good show, JMO. See, we don't need Jimmy.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.